Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
All right, everyone, welcome to the Six Eyes Guy on this 9/11. Six Eyes Radio remembers 9/11, the victims of 9/11. So we want to welcome one, welcome all to the Six Eyes Gospel Show here on the network. How's everyone?
Doing okay, Six, but you keep cutting in and out.
We're doing good, buddy. Hope you're enjoying yourself, too.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. Glad I made the welcome list, so thank you, Lord, for another day. Good morning, Mama. Good morning, Sister. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Brother. Good morning, Mama. And everyone that's up there in heaven watching down over me, Mother, Sister, Father, Mother, Brother. Amen. So yes,
good morning,
so we're here.
Big Brother.
Good morning, Emily. We're here on this 9/11. So, like I said, welcome one, welcome all our surrounding city and states, our faraway countries. Welcome, everybody on the phone lines. Princess Nikhil, welcome. Also, we want to keep Princess Nikhil's mom, Badia Tyler, keep her in prayer. We're praying for a speedy recovery for her. So, Lord, just wrap your arms around her. And we're praying for a speedy recovery for her, beautiful lady. So just keep her in your prayers. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. So I'm late with the coffee club. I'm not in the coffee club yet, so I hope you all have your coffee. And I'll be having mine momentarily. But this is September 11th, and as you all know, what happened 11 years ago. That's 11 years, right?
21.
I'm sorry, 21 years. Yeah, 21 years. Wow.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. See what happens when you don't have your coffee first thing in the morning?
No worries.
Yeah, so, yeah, definitely. That's a lot of years.
There, big bro.
Yeah, because I'm adding 11 to 11, 9-11. Okay, yeah. So anyway, take it away. I'll be right back. This is the Six Eyes Radio Network, Six Eyes Gospel Show. Amen. I'll be right back. Nicole, take it over. I'll be back. Going to get my coffee.
Wonderful, amen. Good morning to everyone. I was glad when they sent them to me, let us come into the house of the Lord. Welcome to everyone. I'm happy to bring in the NPR.org summary. It's about 5 minutes long, and if everyone's in agreement, I'll go ahead and get that started now. Forgive me if it's a little bit of distortion before I actually play it. I just want to make sure the volume is not too high, not too low. And here it is for Sunday, September 11th, 2022.
It said UN figures show that 30% of all shipments have been...
Let me try that again. Here we go. At least I think we're going. Let's see. Let's see. Forgive me. There it is. I can't hear it. I see what's going on here. And this should be good.
Ukraine officials claim they've read from NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. Ukraine officials claim they've recaptured more than 1,200 miles from Russian forces since the beginning of September, with major gains in a counteroffensive in the northeast. NPR's Alyssa Nadworny reports.
Ukrainian forces announced they have made it to the strategic towns of Izum, Balaklia, and Kupiansk in the Kharkiv region, all Russian-controlled for the last 6 months. Izum and Kupiansk are transportation and supply hubs for the Russian forces. Here's Melinda Herring, a Eurasia expert with the Atlantic Council.
If the gains are held, it's a serious blow for Russia, and it's an enormous boost for Ukraine. It shows the West that Ukraine is a trusted and reliable partner and that they are extremely capable.
The Russian Defense Ministry spokesman confirmed Moscow's forces withdrew from Balaklia and Izum, saying they were, quote, regrouping to scale up efforts further south in Donetsk. Alyssa Nadworny, NPR News, Dnipro, Ukraine.
The operator of a nuclear power plant in Ukraine says it's shut down the final reactor out of safety concerns. The plant at Zaporizhzhia has been under Russian control since March. The nation is marking the 21st anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Hijacked jets crashed into the World Trade Center in New York, the Pentagon, and a field in Pennsylvania. Nearly 3,000 people were killed. Bells tolled at the site of the first attacks in New York. President Biden spoke at a remembrance at the Pentagon this morning, where 184 people died. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin also reflected on that day.
Today we stand together to remember a day of horror and loss, a day when al-Qaeda terrorists murdered 2,977 innocent souls, including 184 people here at the Pentagon.
First Lady Jill Biden is in Shanksville, Pennsylvania for that ceremony. A forest fire has led to the evacuation of a mountain town in Washington State, an unhealthy air quality in the Seattle area. John Ryan of member station KUOW has more on the story.
Fire officials evacuated the town of Index, about 40 miles east of Seattle in the Cascade Mountains. Ash fell in the Seattle metropolitan area on Saturday, and smoke has made air in much of the region unhealthy to breathe. An air quality monitoring firm said Seattle had the worst air of any major city in the world on Saturday. Officials have closed U.S. Highway 2 over the Cascade Mountains through Sunday night. The highway is one of the main routes connecting eastern and western Washington. Major forest fires are uncommon on the wet western side of the state, but scientists say to expect more of them as the climate keeps heating up. Seattle has had more days above 90 degrees this year than any year on record. For NPR News, I'm John Ryan in Seattle.
This is NPR News from Washington. Visa Incorporated says it will create a separate category for gun sales. The International Organization for Standardization had approved a new merchant code for guns Friday. Gun control advocates say this will help better track suspicious weapons purchases. Gun rights advocates say this could lead to unauthorized surveillance of legal gun owners and would infringe on their Second Amendment rights. Swedes go to the polls today in one of the country's most highly contested elections in decades. Terry Schultz reports on what's at stake.
Sweden is choosing a new parliament, with Prime Minister Magdalena Andersson hoping her Social Democratic Party retains the most seats so she can form a new government. But the Social Democrats are facing a strong surge from the right, especially from the Sweden Democrats, a populist anti-immigration party expected to improve its showing from its current status as the third largest party in parliament. The Sweden Democrats take a hard line against crime, which a poll by Gothenburg University showed is the top concern of 41% of the Swedish electorate. Earlier in the year, the question of NATO membership was expected to play a role in the vote, but since the government has now applied to join the alliance, that's unlikely to be a factor. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
A hearse carrying the coffin of Queen Elizabeth is in the Scottish capital, Edinburgh. It was driven through the Scottish countryside while hundreds of mourners lined the route to see it go by. She died Thursday at the age of 96 after serving as queen for 70 years. Her son was officially proclaimed King Charles III. The coffin will be taken to London for a state funeral. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.
And now more from NPR.
And this concludes our summary from NPR.org on this Sunday, September 11th, 2022. Amen.
All right. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, NPR News. That's our anchor lady on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And we have two more chairs. So we have my new cousin in radio, Cindy, and we have Pride and Joy. So we have a trio. All right. You're enjoying Six Eyes Gospel on the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Lost their dear love. pray for the ones who don't know, that you rejoice for the people who walked from the rubble and sought for the ones left below. Did you burst out with pride for the red, white, and blue, and the heroes who died just doing what they do? Did you look up to heaven for some kind of answer and look at yourself and what really matters? I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things he gave us, and the greatest is love. Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Teaching a class full of innocent children, or driving down some cold interstate? Did you feel guilty cause you're a survivor? In a crowded room, did you feel alone? Did you call up your mother and tell her you loved her? Did you dust off that Bible before? Did you open your eyes, hope it never happened? Close your eyes and not go to sleep. Did you notice the sunset? First time in ages, speak to some stranger on the street. Did you lay down at night, think of tomorrow, go out and buy you a gun? Did you turn off that violent old movie you're watching and turn on I Love Lucy reruns? Did you go to a church and hold hands with some strangers, stand in line and give your own blood? Did you just stay home and cling tight to your family? Thank God you had somebody to love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things he gave us, and the greatest is love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. I know Jesus and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things he gave us, and the greatest is love, and the greatest is love, and the greatest is love. Where were you when the world stop turning on that September day?
All right. Amen. Amen. And we here at the Six Sense Radio Network remembers the victims of 9/11. Remember the firefighters, the paramedics, the victims who lost their lives. So we're just sending continued comfort and prayers for the families, because I know for a lot of people that's just like it happened yesterday. You know, there's no time on grief. There's no time on grief. And for anyone that tells you that there is, they're lying. You know, so we're just sending continued prayers of comfort to the victims. Amen.
Amen.
Now, for me, we'll start with the Queens first, but for me, 9/11, where were you No particular order, but we'll start with the Queens. Ken, does anyone hear me?
I can hear you. I was just giving place. I'll wait till the end to allow all the other sisters to speak.
Ruthie, are you going to speak? Princess Mikhail, who else do we have with us as a lady?
Yeah, I'm here. Kenny and I were actually listening to our CD go off on our machine. He could tell you a little more than probably me because I'm old. But I do remember the particular day. We were not in this house, by the way. And it shocked us. I think I started to cry. I said, Kenny, I hold you, honey. This is awful.
Actually, Ruth, the exact happenings, what happened, we had just gotten up with our alarm, like you said, with our CD alarm, and then we turned on the news, and we had gotten up shortly after it had happened, and they were going through, you know, reruns and talking about it, you know, how the news does. They go through the news several times, you know, and they keep repeating the news. Well, that's what we were hearing, and it had been already a couple hours after it had happened, and we were like, whoa, what's this? And there it was. We had heard about it, and we were, like, shocked, like, well, okay. Why would somebody do this? And then, and so that's where we were. We were at home.
Okay.
Anybody else? Have a movie. It's not that movie that Emily has, but it's that when the towers fell. And sometime it would be cool to listen to that again because that's really – it tells in depth what happened.
Well, you know what? That's what we can start doing on Wednesday Bible study. We can start doing that. So I think that'll be good. That'll be good. Emily, where were you 9/11?
Matter of fact, the day that – 9/11 happened, I had just brought my son back from the emergency room, and we heard it on the radio in the car.
Wow. Okay. And what was going through your mind when you was hearing what was going on the radio?
Blew it. Blew my mind.
Okay.
My mom, we were talking about it even before I called in today, and she said, man, she goes, Emmy, she goes, it seems like it was yesterday.
Yeah, it does. And it just goes to show you how I was 26, so it just goes to show you how long ago that was.
Oh, you were young.
Yeah. Is there any other females on the line? Who do we have with us?
Okay, we have, Kenny, we have Emily, we have Jim, which usually don't talk, we have U6, and we have somebody with 216-417. I think that might be Nikhil.
Yes, and he said females, not males. You name it males, too. But good afternoon, everyone.
Let me check it out.
Okay.
Hello.
I had an appointment that morning, and I was on my way to work, and I heard the news, and I called because I was in Atlanta, and there was a bomb threat on the CNN center as well, or a threat on the CNN center, which was a couple of blocks away from my job. So I decided, I called, and I just said, I'm not coming in. Y'all got too much going on downtown. And I stayed at home. I went back home. Definitely shocked, and I just went and watched the news because that was crazy.
Wow. Yeah. And my niece wasn't even born yet. Tweety, she wasn't even born yet.
No.
You weren't born 9/11. Okay. Well, she said she was here before. Praise God. It's definitely something. Nicole, I guess you're the last one left.
Okay. Yes, on September 11th, 2001, I were closing on a piece of property, and my godbrother were with me. I had taken a bit of time off because I had to speed up packing up because everything kind of, as y'all know, changes hands quickly, and you got to be ready to switch folks into where you were. Folks are leaving where you're going. You got to get in there. And we needed to get something from the Home Depot. I want to say it was it had something to do with some kind of screwdriver, or Allen wrench or something, however you call that thing, kind of a little hexagon looking tool. But anyway, we were going to go to get that. And what strikes us both as odd was the freeway, for that time of morning, the freeway was like out here in California was like it was like a Saturday, and that got our attention, and we were trying to figure out was like a major accident, what was going on. So I went to go cut on the radio, but I had NPR radio on, and no sooner we could hit the button to cut the radio on, here is what had taken place, and we were just dumbfounded. And everything for that day was just pretty much a wrap. We didn't even go get anything. I wanted to get back home to call relatives there in New York and just check on others that I know would be just as shocked as me there in the East Coast, and check on folks. My niece was being born in the hospital. It was a lot going on, just in typical, but that just stopped everything in its tracks. And even my paperwork was delayed as a result to close because one of the financial teams was in the Trade Center. One of their offices were there. And I didn't even know that I had any paperwork in New York, but that's what I learned later as a result. So just a station. My heart just sank. Yeah,
wow.
That's what it was for me.
Wow.
Elijah was a little guy. He was like, for four, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll wait a little bit longer, see if there's any more females that want to press the one. Well, they may be calling in later. Okay, give it a couple more minutes.
Maybe they'll be calling in later.
Perhaps. Well, for myself, I remember going to work like I always do, each day, going to work, no different, you know, happy, going to work, and get ready to get in the control. Hold on for 1 minute.
Well, team, while he's handling the interruption, would anybody else have anything else to say? Missionary Ken, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Nope. I just basically, like I said, it was just we woke up and then heard it on the news, and that was pretty much it.
All right. Well, while we're waiting on him to return, I'll go ahead and play a commercial real quick.
Well, I'm back.
Hey,
so, this particular...
I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? wasn't worth it. Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
All right. The commercial was playing.
So,
go ahead.
So as I was heading to work, you know, it was just a typical day for me. I'm not knowing any of this is going on, so I get in there, I hang my coat up, I get my coffee like I always do, go up to the control room, and I'm sitting there getting ready to turn everything on, get everything started. My boss comes up, he said, we're not going to be working today. I said, what do you mean? He said, we're under attack. I said, well, I just got here. What's going on? And I thought he was talking about here at my place of work. But what was going on in New York, they said a plane had circled, flew over Pennsylvania, circled back around. I think that was that flight 93. And the last words were, let's roll. So they went out a hero on that plane. And it was just a weird day because, you know, getting ready to go to work, do your everyday job, and then to have to be sent home due to what was going on in New York, I couldn't understand it. So as I'm going home, you just see people just scrambling, just running, confused, scared, you know, many crying because they don't know what's going on. And it was just a sad day, just a sad day. I was seeing pregnant women who are now, these babies are grown, 20, 21, 22. They're grown now. And we just hope they have a good chance at life, you know, despite the tragedies that went on, you know. And like I said, just praying for continued comfort to the families, because it's still fresh in a lot of minds. So that's how that goes. But that's where I was at work, getting ready to start the day. Didn't even get to start the day because my boss came up and said, hey, we're all going home. They're evacuating the buildings. And that's what happened. So that's my take on it.
Hey, Six, I found an article. It's about 3 pages long. It's about a teacher heroes that happened at the World Trade Center. If you like it. If you don't, don't worry about it.
Are you
gonna
read it?
I could even shorten it by just saying about 3 different statements and leave it at that. I don't have to read the whole thing.
Well, I mean, we tend to be said around here quite often, so go ahead and read it.
All right. The sun warmed my face as I crossed the World Trade Center Plaza to my job as a third grade teacher. It was our fourth day of school, September 11th, 2001. It was September 11th, 2001, and New York City teacher Ronit Roe Rubel was still figuring out the quickest route to PS 89, the Red Brick Elementary School, where she just started teaching third grade. A brilliant blue sky, washed clean by the previous night's thunderstorm, beckoned through the windows of her express bus from Brooklyn. Ro made a decision. She'd hop off in front of the World Trade Center and walk the few blocks to school. Ro had been 8 years old when the 110-story Twin Towers opened in 1973. Her father, a carpenter, had done some construction work inside the buildings. To her, the skyscrapers were perfect emblems of the city in which she'd lived her entire life. That bright Tuesday morning in 2001, Ro threaded through the plaza between them, past the enormous bronze sculpture called the Sphere, and through the North Tower lobby, a place she loved for its canopy of international flags. It was early, not yet 7:30 a.m. She still had time to eat breakfast and double-check her lesson plans before the school bell rang. The Will is now at PS 89. This was her 14th year as a teacher, and she loved it. Loved the kids. Loved seeing their thrill when they grasped a tricky math problem or discovered the joy of writing. She had a tradition of sitting her students down on the first day of school and asking them, "What's my biggest job as your teacher?" Kids could call out guesses. To teach us reading, to teach us math, then Ro would tell them, "My biggest job is to keep you safe." More than anything else, she wanted her kids to feel secure inside her classroom with its shelves of bright plastic math counters and chapter books. Normalcy interrupted. At 8:30 a.m., Ro collected her 23 third graders from the fenced schoolyard and led them upstairs to the third floor. Daily routines were still a work in progress. Kids hung backpacks in the coat closet and plopped on the rug for the morning meeting. Within 15 minutes or so, they were reading at little tables. That was when a strange noise rumbled through the classroom. It sounded like heavy furniture being moved somewhere overhead. Ro didn't think much of it until the father of one of her students appeared at the door. Red-faced, he blurted, "I'm taking my daughter." Was there a death in the family? Ro wondered. "Okay, let me get her backpack," she said. "I'll get her homework and get her set up." "No, no," the father said. "I'm taking her right now. Don't you know?" "Know what?" Ro replied. "A missile just blew up the World Trade Center." She looked through the classroom windows high on the north tower of the World Trade Center. Smoke billowed and flames burst from a jagged hole. Ro quickly closed the blinds. She didn't want her 8-year-old students to see this. Ambulances wailed on West Street below. Ro gathered her kids back onto the rug. Inside, she was terrified. To her wide-eyed third graders, she deliberately projected calm. "There was an accident outside," she explained. "You're going to hear a lot of noise. I don't really know what's happening, but you just stay with me. We're safe. We're inside. We're okay. Everything's fine." Chaos builds. At 9:03, they heard the same furniture shifting sound again. United Flight 175 had just torn through the south tower of the World Trade Center, stepping into the coat closet. Ro tried to reach her mom in Brooklyn. When her friends had worked at the World Trade Center, no response. Cell phone networks were overloaded. Ro was told to take her students down the hall to the gym, which had no windows. She gathered them in a corner and started reading aloud, but the room hummed with anxiety. Parents rushing in to pick up their children shared alarming bits of information, only some of which were true. "I heard the Pentagon was hit aboard of one of the workway subway lines to Brooklyn. Having grown up hearing her parents' stories of surviving the Holocaust, she was struck down by a sense of fear and displacement. Curled up in front of the TV watching the news at her mom's apartment that night, she asked, "How do you live like this for years and years?" Her mother replied, "I don't know any different." Amazingly, many New York City schools reopened by the end of the week. PS 89 reopened the following week, albeit in the PS 3 building. All Rose's supplies were stuck at the old building. At that time, she says, "I learned that I can teach with nothing." But soon gifts from around the world poured in, letters, school books, pencils, stuffed animals. Ro found notebooks her kids could use to process their harrowing experiences. Some drew endless pictures of the World Trade Center of planes. As the kids grappled with their 9/11 trauma, so did the teachers. "I didn't go above 14th Street on my own time for a full year," Ro says, "because I needed to be within walking distance of the Brooklyn Bridge. I couldn't hear furniture move for years without flinching." The school helped her find a therapist and a few group counseling sessions, but mostly Ro found comfort in talking and strategizing with other teachers and staffers in the hallways and the lunchroom. The fact that she'd been brand new to PS 89 in September 2001 was erased by the kinship formed through the sharing of a hard experience. A resolute return. When PS 89 finally reopened at the end of February 2002, it was a turning point. Is it really safe? Rolf wondered. Was it cleaned or as promised? How will the kids feel about being back? Her original group of 23 third graders had dwindled by then to 11. The rest had transferred or moved out of battered Battery Park City. In the end, Rose says, we jumped in and rolled up our sleeves and got back to the work of teaching and learning. Now, 20 years after 9/11, Rose still teaches at PS 89, where a plaque on the brick wall of the schoolyard honors the heroic and compassionate principals, teachers, and staff who brought students to safety of both body and spirit that day. Teaching is Rose's life, and unsurprisingly, she doesn't think of herself as a hero for what she did on September 11th. I was doing my job, one I take very seriously, she said. She's done it through the floods of Hurricane Sandy, through a shooting outside the school, and now through a pandemic. Lately, she's been asking her students to identify one source of joy in their lives every day. She's trying to teach them to flip the script of adversity, to know that there's happiness to be found in challenging times, that learning lights the darkest days, and that no matter what happens, their teacher will always work to keep them safe.
Amen.
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 Will I bring to you?
Pastor Bonnet is on. Pastor Bonnet's there.
Yes.
Welcome, Pastor Bonnet. Thank you for that story, Sister Ruthie. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yes, thank you very much. Let's play a song, and I'll come right after the song. I wish you had a song, Something Happened When You Called the Name Jesus, but I'm not sure who the artist is.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Mike. Okay, where is my stuff?
Something happened when I called Jesus.
What's the name of it? Something Happens When You Call the Name Jesus?
Yeah.
Play Something Happens When You Call the Name Jesus.
Miracle Worker by Benga Tisenwa. How many know that Jesus is a miracle worker? Something happens when we call the name Jesus.
Yeah.
God bless each of you on this wonderful God-given day. And this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall be glad and rejoice in it. Good afternoon, wherever you may be. I'm Pastor Kenneth Bonnet of the True Word of Faith, Church of God in Christ. Thank you for joining this wonderful six-hour gospel show where you get your praise on without leaving the house. It is a privilege and an honor to come to you all once again just to share the gospel truth. Last week, we got into a wonderful, 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 wonderful topic. And we're not going to deviate from it. We're just going to add to it as we venture back to it and continue on from that. In this day and time, the world is busy. People are doing this, that, and the other. You talk to the average person, and they begin to tell you about their busy life, or what they got on their agenda, what's next, what they have to do. Oftentimes, you may ask the people the question, do you go to church? And some may say, well, I only got to go to church to serve the Lord. That ain't what I asked you, but that's what you answered. I asked, did you go to church? And so some people automatically take a defensive approach at the very question. And then we have to realize what's really going on. It may be true that you don't have to go to church to serve the Lord. But it is very important to understand
that you must be the church if you're going to serve the Lord. Many people don't understand what it is to be a part of the kingdom of God. Can you be a part? I just want to ask everyone to mute your mic at this time. We have some feedback. And thank you very much.
Mic on mute.
God bless you.
Thank you.
And so what we're asking people today is, do you understand the kingdom of God? Do you understand the purpose of the kingdom of God? So many people think that going to church is their service to God. But service to God, unless you are the usher, the musician, the ministers that will be working at the altar or there to minister, going to church, listening to a preacher, listening to the choir, is not service to God. It's equipment preparing you to live a life of servicing God. We want to have a relationship with God, but it's very strange that we limit him to 60 minutes, 90 minutes, 2 hours at best. And we put that restriction on him, and if the program or service go longer than that, we exclaim that it's too long, that it don't take all of that. But no one that have a meaningful relationship will allow that relationship to only communicate 2 hours out of the week and no other. In fact, if you was married and your spouse only gave you 2 hours of their time out of the week, I don't care how much money they was making, I don't care what kind of fame that they had, that relationship would not last, and you will begin to depreciate the value of their supposed love towards you. Because true love is time. Oh, yeah. You know, men love their cars, so they spend time washing it, waxing it, detailing it. Oh, yeah. Men love football and sports, and they spend time washing it and telling you, hush, 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 game on, game on. Every time the commercial go out, don't talk to them. It's amazing how we give so many different things time that we say we love, but in the same voice of saying we love God, we take away his time. Not realizing that is the overall scheme and plot of the devil. Oh, yeah. Years ago, I preached a message called Operational Code Red. It dealt with having a proper perspective. And it started off with talking about the devil and his demons had a worldwide convention. And in this worldwide convention, the devil, being the chief spokesman, began to speak to all his little demons. And he began to point out to them that it was useless trying to stop the believer from going to church. That because they were believers, they were going to go to church because it was part of their belief system. So he devised a plot. he said, what we're going to do is we're going to give them a dream. A dream that they think they must chase. One that says that if you do this and this and this, then that shall happen for you. And so they begin to put down the idea of having a small house and highlighted having a bigger house, which means that you had a bigger note, which also means that you needed more money. So the dream began to chase after the almighty dollar. And so they put it just in the grasp that we gave you a promotion so you can afford this house, and now that you have committed to this house or this brand new luxury car, now that you have these things of status quo, you must maintain these things, because it would be a shame that you, who call yourself a Christian, would lose these things. It would be a disgrace for you that call yourself a Christian to no longer have the best of things. And so the idea was to get them to chase the money. You know this program, the show that they had, Show Me the Money. And that began to be a taught ideology. Name it, claim it. Began to be a sermon across the nations, across the continent. Everybody had to say, if you have this, it's a sign to show that God is on your side. And so people begin to be very busy. Wherein it used to be one job could support a family. Now it takes two jobs to support the average family. That means a mother and a father that was trying to grow a family. Both now have to work, and so the nurturing of the children in their upbringing, in their younger years, the first 3 years, 3 to 4 years of a child's life are the most important foundational years. But because you had to chase the money to support the big cars, the bigger house, you didn't have time to spend to raise your children. You had to put them in daycare, and all of a sudden, promotion started being given on the job, or extra time being given on the job. So you went from working 8 hours a day to working 10 hours a day, sometimes 12. And we're going to tell them, Satan said, that this is the mark of success. And so at supper time, instead of sitting at the dinner table, many had to eat out or eat in, order food. And time that is home, the children has already put to bed. So there's no questions of how was your day, how you feel. No conversation about their future. So the very word fatherhood, which is the opportunity to cultivate greatness, no longer matters because, well, my children just have to understand that in order for them to have the nicest of clothes, name brand this and name brand that, daddy got to work, so they just have to. And that began to be your theology. Oh, yeah, I did say theology. And Satan devised this scheme, and we fell into it hook, line, and sinker. Yes, it was like a fisherman who was well prepared. He had all kinds of bait set on the line, and because we was hungry for fame, hungry for notoriety, hungry for our name being called in light, hungry to have the car better than our neighbor. Because we wanted the bigger TV. The little one didn't matter no more. Had to have one bigger than life now. Well, after all, my name is this and my name is that. And what would people think? So this Operation Cold Red caused a frenzy in the body of Christ to chase after a false dream. A false dream of what was successful. And so instead of doing the things that God had prepared, they began to think that they had to do this and that. And they no longer began to trust God, but they started trusting their own strength, their own education. They began to trust in themselves more so than trusting in God. And over time, what happened? Our children were introduced to things that we would not have taught them. They were introduced to things that we would have not had permit to happen. Most unfortunately, some of our kids was molested. They was raped because, well, I can't afford the daycare, so I got to let Uncle so-and-so, he don't have a job, and he been suffering for a while. This may help him put a little money in his pocket, and we begin to compromise. When we put our children in the hands of those that was not supposed to have them in their hands. But I'm blessed. See what all I got. See what all I have. I'm this, I'm that. We began to chase and chase. That's a sad testimony for the body of Christ. Now, Jesus said that he would give us his spirit. His spiritual gift. But because we no longer highlight spiritual gifts, well, how can you, you know, since we deem the church non-essential no more? So when are you going to really see those gifts in operation? When are you going to really see the power of healing and deliverance? When are you going to see the word of knowledge applied? When are you going to see the things of God? Because you have deemed that the house of God is no longer necessary. And so we have devalued the Lord's house. We have devalued the assembly of ourselves together. We have put more value on a few words on social media. And that's what happened. We began to chase the latest and greatest of this, that, and the other. Forgetting the song that says, come over here where the table is already spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. The feast of the Lord? Yes, the feast of the Lord. Do you not know that Jesus said to the disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am ye may be also? In other words, according to tradition, when there was going to be a great celebration, a banquet, where you were going to invite others, you didn't invite them until it was ready. And you sent out notice to them that it would be ready or come now, it is ready. It's amazing how we can be so busy on Sunday, the day of readiness. And on Monday, show up on time for work. But Sunday, show up late and leave early. We have devalued what is most valuable. Our story today coming out of Luke show us how people start off saying something nice, but they miss the whole point. So we're going to relook at that story again. Luke chapter 14, verse 15. And it reads, Luke chapter 14, excuse me. Luke chapter 14, verse 15. It says, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. In other words, blessed is he then invited. Blessed is he. Blessed is he that. And he thought he was sharing something with Jesus. But Jesus took this and took it another way. Because it's not just a blessing for you to say, I read the Bible, but you still have no understanding. It's not a blessing for you to say that you can quote scriptures, but you still don't live holy. It's not a blessing. It is like these next few verses. Then said he, which is Christ, unto him, the man that thought it was just nice to have some bread. He said, a certain man made a great supper. This wasn't any supper. This was something that was grand. When you think of your grand banquets today, most of them you have to RSVP. In other words, there's an invitation that is sent out to you. And when you respond to the invitation, they make ready every provision, counting on you to be in attendance. God made a grand invitation to all of us. I mean, for the most part, if you ask somebody to choose between eternal life with God or eternal damnation with all the fallen angels, they will most undoubtedly choose eternal life with God. I mean, that's a given. No real sane person will choose suffering over peace. Eternal peace at that. So irregardless to any of the activities that may happen, a key word is peace. No sane person would turn that down for chaos. And so here it is. There's an invitation for peace. And look what happened. A certain man, I mean, somebody who was well able, somebody who was full of hospitality, had a great supper, and he begged many, he invited many. In other words, he wasn't being cheap. You know, if God was the false God that some had was teaching, that only 144,000 was going to make it in, that would be a cheap God. Because after all, no matter how many people have lived on the earth since time began to now, the universe is still bigger.
to say that only 144,000 was going to make it to heaven is actually ludicrous, because in a sense that would be calling God cheap, and that banquet wouldn't be so grand. Actually, that would be an office party. That's about the size of that. Let me continue. So this certain man had a grand supper, and he bade many. He invited many, and he sent his servant out at supper time. In other words, dinner is ready, saying to them that were bidden, you had an invitation. In other words, you knew this day was coming. There's a day of reward coming to you, my brothers, my sisters of Christ. There's a day that God is going to reward us for the labor we have done on this earth. God's going to judge our work. And based on our work, we're going to receive certain rewards. So the invitation is already there for us. But the people who have invited, that's us, believers, who have already accepted the invitation, we just didn't know the day nor the hour. He sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that was bidden, come, for all things are now ready. That's a revelation for somebody today. There's some things that God has prepared for you that's ready now. Let me keep on moving. They are now ready. Your blessings, your increase, godly increase, is ready now. You know, service time is at this time or that time. It was ready now. The time for God to bless you, the time that God desired to pour into you what was prepared for you. Okay. That's the purpose of the organized structure of the church. Time that's set. And that time that is set to give you the substance that is already prepared for you. But this is what happened to those that knew that the time was already set. They knew, because at the set time, as the servant began to say, is ready, here's what happened. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. You know, when I ask you, did you go to church today? Well, you know, I'm tired. I don't have to work double shift this week. I don't long to go to that church because, you know, the preacher did, you know, he embarrassed me openly, this and that. You know, I don't have room to grow there. I'm not growing there. I don't need to go. And one excuse after the other to forsake the assembly. This is what we began to see. Began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground. Okay, you bought some land. And I must need to go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Well, you know, I just bought some new land. Well, if you just bought it, it's yours. You can see it tomorrow. You knew that this occasion was set for you on this day. If you bought it, it's yours. You can see it later on this evening. The average banquet, what,
3 hours, 4 hours here in America, somewhere like that. Now, this was another culture. Maybe the banquet was 3 days. But you still could have saw it later. But you came up and asked to be excused for missing out, not because of an emergency, not because of something that could not wait, but for something that you deem more important. Think about that the next time you ask God to heal you from your headache or help you with your high blood pressure or to bring your family together. What if God gave us excuses like we give him? It's food for thought. I'm going to continue on. Verse 19. Verse 19 says, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. Okay, you done bought some livestock. Okay, you bought them. Now, hopefully, if you're buying livestock, you already seen them at the time of purchase. But here's the excuse. I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. Well, if you're going to prove them, that means you're going to take them to a piece of land that you own, hopefully. And since you own it, that means you control the time in which the labor on the land must be done. So yet again, it is something that could have been delayed. It is something that you could have done at a different time. But yet, well, you know, prayer time is at 6 a.m. And, well, you know, I've been working long hours, and we come up with one excuse after the other excuse after the other excuse. And again, he said after this excuse, I must prove them. I pray thee that you excuse me. What? But you knew one of the hardest things for the body of Christ to really understand today is the scripture says, recognize your time, T-I-M-E, of visitation. In other words, there's a time where the moving of God through the Holy Spirit will rest in your vicinity. And it's only then and then only can the things that you cannot do, you have the anointing to do them. But because you didn't recognize the time of visitation, the thing about it is we hold God responsible, but it's really us. The old church used to say, at least down south from where I am, used to tell us, much prayer, much power. Prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. You could tell the difference from people that eat healthy and the people that don't. Because if you are what you eat, then how you look on the outside may reflect on what you're consuming on the inside. So let's take the spiritual stand on that. How do your spirit man look? Is your spirit man malnutrition? Is it plump? Is it muscular? Is it overweight? How do it look? Food for thought. Verse 20, and another said, I have married a wife. Wow, congratulations. The Bible said the two shall be one, so why didn't you just bring her with you? Yes, husband, take your wife to church. Don't send your wife to church. Take your wife to church with you. Oftentimes, the kids end up not wanting to go to church because if daddy can stay home and watch sports and they have to go to church, sooner or later, they're going to take on the same attitude. What's so important about it? Why daddy get to stay home? And what seemingly to be on a rise is now that even taking a different role too. Mama staying home as well. And how can both parents stay home and send their children to church, expecting their children to learn something by others? Thank God for that. That others are committed. But what if someone in that organization wasn't right? You're not giving your kids time. You're not talking to them about what they learned, who said what, who did what. So how would you know when there was a wrongful conduct taking place? We have become so busy with giving everything else our time, and we have omitted the very blessings that God has already stored up for us. We say, well, Lord, that's not enough. It's amazing how you can have a two-bedroom apartment and keep it nice and tidy and neat, and you pray to God for more room. And he gives you a three-bedroom house. And all the rooms are overflowing and not kept. Times. What we have called a blessing have really become a weight. And when the Bible said, cast aside every sin and the weight, some things weigh us down. Well, I'm trying to serve the Lord, but something is holding me back. What's holding you back? Could it be that we're connected to the wrong thing? We're chasing the wrong dream. We're desiring the wrong thing. Now, don't get me wrong. God can care less about the stuff that we have. But what he is very concerned with is what stuff has us. He said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll grant you the desires of your heart. He that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. You're still hungry for things only because you're chasing things that were not designed to fill you. Yes, you may have that momentary satisfaction. It's like a drug. You're high for a moment, but then you come back down to a state of reality. Then what? Why not just enjoy life as it is? So you don't have to deal with the ups and downs of a drug. Many people go to church. Preach me happy, Reverend. Okay. But then what? I preached a good sermon. I hooped every now and then. And you were like, yeah, but you didn't remember nothing when you left out of the building. And you forgot the text that I came from. I'm going to ask at the end of this message, what text did I come from today? What book were we in? What chapter did we read? What verses? See, we have put so much value on people. And the truth of the matter is I was born and one day I'm going to die. And the value of me is going to be no more than dust. But the revelation of this is the word was written before me, and long after I'm gone, the word will still be here, thereby the word having more value than even my life. And if nothing else in this world that I can leave behind for my children, I pray that they will hold on to the word. It's no good for them to have an urn sitting on top of their fireplace with my ashes. I do them no value. But if they can utilize the words of truth and righteousness to make their lives better, to impact their family, to impact their community, to impact their generation. But if they forsake the assembly, if they forsake the coming together, sharing, encouraging one another, building up one another, developing one another, then what shall we have? Verse 21 says, so that the servant came and showed his Lord things. Then the master of the house, being angry. Being what? Being angry. So are you saying, preacher, when I don't receive what God has for me, it can make him angry? Yes. Any parent that will spend time to go out and pick a present for their children and bring it to them, and that child is unthankful, it makes that parent angry. I didn't say mad. I said angry. Because, after all, our children should appreciate the extra that we do for them. There's some things that automatically, you know, automatically I'm supposed to feed my children. Automatically I'm supposed to make sure that my children have decent clothes. So it don't have to be name brand anything. Automatically I should provide safe haven for them. Those are my basic responsibilities. So anything that goes beyond that scope, it is expected for them to say thank you. It is expected for them to recognize my labor or love and show appreciation by taking care of what was given, by utilizing and accepting what was given. Some of us are gifted with talent. You're gifted to sing, but you won't sing in nobody's choir. They won't let me lead. So maybe you're not as strong lead as you think. But being part of something is better than being part of nothing. And so we are broken today because we have expectations that are not founded on truth of God's word, and we have rejected what he's given. Verse 21 again, so the servant came and showed his Lord these things, the rejected invitation. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly unto the street and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor. You know what? I'm going to bless those that ain't got nothing. Those that's wishing to have a meal. Those, that's why sometimes somebody can come to the church and they're excited about being saved and all of a sudden it seems like they take off and You're sitting there, you've been in the ministry 15, 20 years, and you get jealous because you see them being utilized. But all they did was accept the gift. All they did is show their appreciation. When you overlook yours and wondering why you're not being utilized as faith, bring in the main. It says, bring in the hither, the poor, and the maimed, and the halted, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as it has been commanded. And yet there is room. The scripture says to us, pray unto the Lord of the harvest. For the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. It's only a few people that really want to do the work of the kingdom. Yeah. Most folks want the spotlight of the kingdom. They don't want the work. If you can't be the pastor, you don't want to do nothing. If you're not the one receiving the tithes and the offering, then you don't want to give nothing. If you're not the one in charge of this or that, you don't want to support. But there's a gift outside of the fivefold ministry that is a apostolic anointing, which is called the gift of helps. And many have been gifted to help other people succeed. Those are your second chairs. They're gifted to help the first chair be better. And they are not envious of the first chair. But they're there in supporting role, seeing that everything is done decently and in order. And let's go on. So he said, there is room, verse 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel. This word compel supersedes the word acts. See, asking you to do something is me saying, hey, Charles, will you play this song? And Charles can say, I can't find it. So I'm not going to be able to do it. But if I were going to compel him, I begin to talk about the song, how grand it is, how it makes me feel. All of a sudden, now Charles be like, man, let me find this song. Alexa? Oh, it ain't there? Siri? It ain't there? Google? He began to search for it because now I have painted something desirable. So God want us believers, servants, to compel men and women to come into the body of Christ. And asking you to come to my church is not compelling you, because I don't tell you how good my preacher is. I don't tell you nothing about the sermon. I don't tell you about the atmosphere. I don't share with you the thing that makes me happy about what I'm doing, but yet I'm asking you to come be a part. Many of us, we have been guilty or simply just asking, and we have failed at compelling. Now, if you can't say amen, you say ouch. Ouch.
Amen.
Because sometimes we don't know how to compel, but you compel. Guess what happened when you go to a restaurant for the first time and you enjoy what they fixed and prepared for you? You know what you do? You pick up the phone when you get home and you tell 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of your friends that you talk to on a regular basis. And you tell them, hey, listen, I know you like going over there to Thomas, but, man, I'm telling you over here at Mark, man, this is something else. Like, what? Man, listen, you got to, man, but, man, listen, I understand what you're saying. I'm telling you, you got to make time to come over here tomorrow because if you order this or that, man, your mouth going to be watery for days, but your stomach going to be satisfied always. You're going to paint that picture so to the only word they can say is so. That what it means to compel people to come. You be persuasive. You be enticing. Fellas, you know how it was when you saw that girl for the first time and you were determined to get her to talk to you or to go on a date with you. Man, you began to find out what she liked. You called her friend up. You talked to people that knew her. And you tried to find out what it was that she was attracted to. And you begin to deliver. So that's compelling. We don't compel people to come to the body of Christ. Actually, we threaten them. If you don't come, you're going to hell. Well, they're already condemned. So you didn't make it no better. We haven't made it better. We've condemned. We didn't liberate. You know what made Disney World so wonderful? Years ago, Disney World had a thing where whoever won MVP of the final game was going to have free tickets for him and his family to come to Disney World. And you would ask that athlete after that game, and they will say, what are you going to do now that you have won the Super Bowl? Me and my family, we're going to Disney World! And all of a sudden, the commercial for Disney World will come with extreme wrath and people hollering and screaming and just celebrating. And you will see Mickey with his big old ears and his Nike outfit on. Minute coming around, waving and laughing and just touching all the little children. They were compelling. Care how much the tickets were. Whatever it took. You said, if she's going to Disney World, I'm going to take my family too. And whatever the tickets cost, you saved for it. You was compelled. The world has been successful in compelling us to believe them. Therefore, unfortunately, we have failed at compelling them to believe us. The church is essential. The body of Christ is essential. But there are still people that haven't opened the doors of their church because of COVID-19. And mostly everybody going back to work. They got their mask on. They done got their shot, their boosters, and they gone about their business. Now, we're still, well, you got to be careful, you know. They got the new one called Omicron. You know, you don't want to get it. No, you don't. But long before these diseases came around, there were other diseases that were just as deadly. And I remember I had the mumps. I sat in the back of the church with the thing wrapped around my head. They knew not to bother me and get close. Preacher prayed for me on the distance. I don't remember nothing else about the mumps other than they prayed for me. I got better. I don't remember no side effects, no nothing. I had a momentary down moment. All of a sudden, I was better that same week. Why? Because my church preached power of healing through God's name. And not only did they preach it, they demonstrated it according to the scripture. That was compelling to make me stay in the church. So verse 24. For I say unto you that none, how many? None. This is the servant. This is the master talking to the servant. He said, I say unto you that none of these which was bidding, which were bidden. I mean, the first one that you had an opportunity to enjoy. Now that opportunity is gone. Shall taste of my supper. No, I'm not even going to give them a taste of it. You ever had that moment in life where you feel like something is gone and you can never get it back? Mm-hmm. It could be that you have lost the taste because you denied it when you had opportunity. I've come to the end of this message today, and there's much more I can say. God bless me to be a preacher who is talkative. But I think I said enough on today. I want to provoke you today with this question. You've been busy in your life trying to get an education, trying to find a loved one, trying to find the love of your life, trying to find a spouse, trying to have children. You've been busy. My question to you is, for who? For whom? You've been busy. All of us are busy doing something or busy doing nothing. That's probably one of my favorite pastimes. Busy doing nothing. Let the TV watch me while I try to watch it. Busy. We've been busy. But who are we busy for? Who are we truly busy for? And it's a thought-provoking question because you don't have to answer me. But one day you will have to give an account to God himself. I want you to remember the unrighteous manager. The unrighteous manager was told, you're going to have to give an account of your management. Because the word has been, you have not been a good manager. So you can be manager no more. And that unrighteous now, manager began to go back over the duties that he was charged of. He was charged of making sure the master received proper payment for this, that, and the other. And to all those that was indebted, he went to them and said, what you owe? I need you to do this quickly. Don't delay. And he began to build favor with them, for he knew the day was coming where he was going to be set out. And what he had done was, he bought himself enough favor amongst people because he helped them reduce their debt so that when he no longer had a job, until he can find another gig, he didn't have to worry about begging because he was too proud to beg, and he was also too weak to dig. And God called him wise. unjustly, wicked, but yet wise. The world has shown itself to be wiser than we, the body of Christ. Let's reverse that. Wisdom costs more than any amount of gold or silver or precious stone. But we must attain it through first the proper fear of who God is and our love for him and the things he has for us. Matthew 6:33 tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Once again, I thank you for allowing me to minister to you today. I pray that it had filled in some gaps. I pray that what I said will not be taken out of content, but properly added where you are to help you build a stronger relationship with God Almighty. I love you with the love of Christ. And until the next time, or tomorrow night, Monday, for Motivational Monday, with yours truly, God bless you, God keep you, and I surrender the mic back over to either Brother Charles or Missionary Ken or whomever is in charge of today's program. Once again, thank you. Love you all. God bless.
All right. Thank you for that message, Pastor Bonnie. Thank you for that message. If you could, if we can say a prayer for Mama Tyler, if you could say a prayer for her.
Amen.
If we could say a prayer also for Brother Levi Wright out of Louisiana.
Oh, yes. Yes, Brother Levi.
Amen.
And we'll just cover
Amen.
Mankind.
Amen.
Covers all of us. Amen.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your presence, Lord God, first of all, asking for forgiveness of any sins of omission or sins of commission that we may have. We need not our prayers being blocked or hindered. We ask your forgiveness, Lord God, and ask for your revelation of knowledge on the things that we can correct in ourselves. And we ask for strength that we may do it with boldness and be not ashamed. Now, Father, we lift up these names, Sister Taylor and Brother Levi. We lift them up to you and others that may be on the prayer of the sick and shed in, of those that are in need, those that have habits that need to be broken, hang-ups that need to be hung up. Lord God, we just ask for your divine will to intervene in our lives. Many times, Lord, it's just hard to subject ourselves, but God, we pray for self-control, that we will govern ourselves according to your word, and that we will not allow outside influences to influence your inside word in our heart. You said that your word you will put in our heart. David said, thy word will I hide in my heart that I might not sin. Help us, Father God, to hold dear to your word that we might not sin against you. And give us strength, Lord God, to continue to pray for one another, that healing will take place, deliverance will take place. You know, those that are on drug or alcohol abuse right now, that's dealing with that spirit, that infirmity that is plaguing them in their mind and heart, causing them to repeat the cycles of shame, causing low self-esteem to remain in their life. We bind that spirit now in the name of Jesus. And we loose one of joy and peace in the name of Jesus. For God, your word have declared that you will keep us in perfect peace, conditional, if our mind is stayed on you. So we cast the devil out of our own mind, that we will keep our mind on you, Father, that we will trust you, that we will lean on you, we will depend upon you and not lean on our own understanding, that we will acknowledge you in all of our ways, that you might direct our path. Father, we stand on your word as principles of life today. To live is Christ, and that's our desire, is to live in Christ, that the world may see him through our actions. So help us today to be truly Christ-like. You said, if your people who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, then you shall hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Well, Father, we are humbly asking for you to forgive us of our wicked ways, the things that we know that we should not be doing. Forgive us for not doing the things that we know we should be doing, our sins of omission. Help us today. Help us today to be whom you call us to be, that we may bring glory to your name. After all, we were created to make your name glorious, to make your name wonderful. The birds sing happy melodies to you daily. Help our hearts to sing to you daily as we express our love towards you, as we thank you for extending your love towards us while we was yet sinners. Christ died for our sins, and we thank you now, Lord, for all that you're doing, all that you're going to do, all that we shall see. In Jesus' name, we thank you, we bless you, amen, and we receive. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. With that, make sure you join Pastor Bonner tomorrow for Motivational Monday. And the schedule is up, Pastor Bonnet. I'm going to tag you in it. The whole schedule is up, so nobody has to ask, when do we come on? We're on 7 days a week. I go down each show, starting off with yours.
Amen.
So it's there. I'll tag you. Amen. I'll tag you in it.
Amen.
And, and I think we are ready for our Bloodhound of Scripture. But once again, you're enjoying the Six Eyes Gospel Show. We're here every Sunday where you get your praise on without leaving the house. Once again, hello to our surrounding city and states, our faraway countries, and our new callers. Pastor Bonnet, I have a new cousin that I met that's in radio. She's out of Cincinnati, Cindy. So, she's going to be joining us there. Natural. I mean, she's a natural. She's a natural. So, hit it off with. Yeah, she hit it off yesterday. They all had a good time.
That's a beautiful thing.
We'll
get to do some voice overlays and start announcing our programs and different things of that nature. And let her get in. You know,
You
don't get in the pool, don't get wet from your feet to your head.
Absolutely. Anytime I can sit back and let somebody else talk, I love it.
I found out that a conversation takes more than one person. So what we need is healthy content, healthy conversation.
Yes.
When we look around and we see social media talking, somebody may be speaking, but somebody's speaking back.
Amen.
And the most we begin to speak back and begin to narrate our own healthy content, then we control that narrative. We should not be allowing the world to tell us what a Christian should look like. The Bible has already spoke. We should be telling the world this. Look at me. This is what a Christian look like. Well, you can do this. No, I can't. I can, but I won't. Just because I can do something don't mean I will. Oh, yeah. I own a firearm. That's right. The preacher has a gun. I got bullets for that gun. But just because I can shoot the gun don't mean I need to be shooting the gun. Just because I can aim at people don't mean I need to be aiming at people. Just because you can do something don't mean that you should. See, the gun is not necessarily there for a violent nature. It can be there for one of protection, guarding. Same as the sword in Scripture. We're not to go out to cause violence and destruction. But if we can prevent it, then that's what we should do. As much as life will in you live peacefully with all men. Because it's in you. That's why I pray for our police departments everywhere. For our men and women that put on the uniform to serve and protect. I pray that they don't have to utilize their weapon, but I pray that they use it before the bad guy uses it against them. Against them. I pray that they are able to go home and return home to their family. Now, earlier this week in Memphis, we had a guy, for no good reason, went on a rampage from one end of the city to the other, tried to cross over the Mississippi, got turned around because of the police force, then hijacked one car with another vehicle and was shooting people and killed four people. Three others. So had the whole city in an uproar, one person who lost sight of truth and devalued life. But what if the person that saw them that morning before they started that had been in covenant relationship with God and begin to pray over that young man, because he was 19 years old that did this. 19.
Wow.
Haven't begun to live. He's alive, but it is safe to say his life, as it was known before, is truly over. He'll probably spend the rest of his life locked up in prison because of one action. And the sad thing about it is, this is what he did. He posted it while he was doing it on Facebook.
Mm. Yeah, that's unfortunate.
That's why the Bible tells us watch as well as pray. We must pay attention to our surroundings.
Right.
We must pay attention. Because we don't know what God has done to put us in places that we may prevent things from happening that the devil is trying to cause to happen.
Right.
But this is true.
Well, being that you...
Go ahead.
Yeah, being that you told that story, and I'm sure there's several more that you could tell, but let's go around the room. And how's everybody's mental on a scale of 1 to 10? How's everybody's mental?
Amen. Well, I would like to say my mental is probably at an 8.5 today. Only because I put on a shirt that I had dried from when I got caught in the rain yesterday, and it still got me itching. And so I'm really fine, but it's that itching that got me. And
well,
even though I don't take a bath and shower and soap, I'm still itching. So if I can get that itching to stop.
Well, you know what, Pastor Bonnie? You know what, Pastor Bonnie? You might come up with a new dance before the day is over with.
I think I got one going on right
you know?
Now. Shake. Take them clothes off.
You can do the boogie oogie. You can do the boogie oogie scratch. Bonnie's boogie oogie scratch.
Yeah.
Little cornstarch.
Yeah.
Bonnet.
Right.
I mean,
my mentor would be at the kitchen today. Yes. Yeah. Amen. So I'm at a 10 with my mentor. Amen.
That's good. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
So my mentor would be, I'm going to say a 9. I'm very thankful that the treatment, it seems to be working a little on my mom, but what they're saying is it's just giving her a little more time. So we're going to keep praying because I know that God can change all. So I'm thankful. I feel blessed. But I'm definitely concerned about her. Especially being so far away. So I try to as I can, you know, my sister from here.
Right. Well, you know, we here at the station, we got her. Like I said, very beautiful lady. And we got you. We're all praying for her. We're all praying for her.
Thank you. And she loves you to death. To heaven.
Yes. Yes. Got a lot
I
of
think
people
that's the
around
the
country.
We love that phrase, love you to death. Can you love me to life? But,
yes.
We're
going to
have that dialogue.
That's
how that dialogue one day.
Yes.
Love you to heaven.
Yes.
Love you to life.
Well, love you to life, but heaven's even greater.
Amen. Well, Christ already loves us to heaven, so all we got to do is accept that love, that for free gift. It only costs us to surrender our sin. Right. That's it. Say yes to him and no to the adversary.
Amen. Well, I think we need to do our Bloodhound description. But if you're not doing so already, you can follow the Six Eyes Radio Network by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Six Eyes, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, and you'll be following the Blog Talk family. You'll get notifications when we go on 7 days a week. You can also go and download the iHeart app, and in the search, you want to type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O. Same thing with Apple. In the search, type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O. Press subscribe. You have the Six Eyes Radio Network on demand, and you'll also get notifications. We have Facebook pages that you can follow. We have the Six Eyes Radio group. Follow that. We have For the Love of Six Eyes Media Group. Follow that. And we also have AJ and the Squad. Follow that page as well. Because now everybody is following pages now. They just implemented that. So it's not a join, it's a follow. So do that and you'll be following the best in online radio, the Six Eyes Radio Network, as we commemorate this 9/11, which was 22 years ago after I had my coffee. Amen.
You know what?
21 years ago, Sick.
Yeah,
he's close.
Yeah, it was 2001.
What did I say?
You said 22.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
So yeah, it happened in 2001.
Way closer earlier, amen. Yeah.
Okay.
That's all right.
Amen.
Still plus 20 years.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. Do y'all remember what you was doing when that happened?
I do. I was getting ready to start the day. I was in the control room getting ready to get started. I was actually on my two-way because we hadn't started yet. I get everything turned on, warmed up. And my boss came up. He said, we're not working today. I said, well, why the hell I come here if we're not working? He said, no, well, normally we'll be working, but we're under some kind of attack. So I'm like, well, I just got here, so I'm thinking somebody's in the museum about the attack. You know, I didn't know what was going on, you know. I got my hazelnut coffee, just took my coat off and everything, went to the control room with my coffee, my two-way, and he came in, said, we're under attack, so we're going to be evacuating the building. Everybody's going to be going home. So that's what I did. I went back to my office, got my coat, left out. Everybody was leaving in a frenzy, a frantic. And when you got outside, it was kind of, it was just chaotic. You know, people running everywhere, not knowing what's going on. You know, it's just never seen the city move so fast. Actually ran across mm-hmm. this lady that was pregnant. So we know her son is 21 now. So, yeah, it was just rough, man. So that's the day I remember. But if when you watch it on the news, it looks like a trailer for a movie. You know, that's what I thought it was. But, no, it was actually happening. So, yeah. So I just say continued prayers, you know, to the victims' families, and may the victims continue to rest in peace. Complete.
Can you imagine those people who got up that day and they listened to the Spirit of the Lord and said, I'm not going to work today? Can you imagine their testimonies about different ones that was either running late or for some reason or another they just didn't have the get up that morning to go to work and didn't know why, didn't understand why. And as believers, it's one of the things, one of the reasons why we need the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into truth. And, you know, so many times we've had that situation where the Spirit of the Lord, something we'll say, we say, something told me not to go this way, and only to go that way that we felt a need not to go, and to be delayed by traffic or some incident, you get a ticket, and you be like, man, I should have followed my first mind. I mean, it's one of those things that learning to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and listening to him, because he's not going to shout at us and scream at us, but he's going to speak gentle. He's going to speak in the background, speaking clear to us. But for the most part, we're so busy that about so many other things. And that's what we're going to be leading to in this series. You know, you're not busy, you're distracted. That's the next segment of this. I'm busy for who? Is you really not busy? You're distracted, mm-hmm. and so we'll be dealing with that moving forward.
You're distracted, aren't you?
But once again, we did avert the bloodhound of scripture, so let's receive that. I'm enjoying the fellowship. I'm enjoying talking. A couple more people need to tell how they feel. What's your mental? Don't be afraid to say what it is. If it's low, it's low. But that's why you have a body of believers to pray with you, that God would lift it up.
All right. Well, as I get ready for the Bloodhound here, I just let you know a couple of things. First off, with your message, Pastor Bonnet, I enjoyed that point that you made about the Great Supper. And when you were talking about the group that talks about the 144,000, you said that would only be a small office party. I like that. And my mental, I'm at a 10, okay? I'm at a 10 because I know that this Thursday, finally, I get around to get my stress test so we can find out what's going on with my heart condition. So I'm at a 10. I'm just happy as can be. Amen.
Yeah. All right. We're praying for good results and for them to be able to share with you all that's going on underneath so that you know what you need to be doing on the surface.
Yeah, they find out what's going on with my oil pump, see if it's working right. All right, so here we go. This is the Bloodhound of Scripture you're all supposed to have searched out by this week. See if you got it. Here we go.
Amen. Now, also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shewed thy strength unto this generation and thy power everyone that is to come.
Nice place to find out where we ask God to show his power. Amen. And we'll hear that once again. Amen.
Now, also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shewed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come.
And another thing we find in this verse is we're asking God to show his power when we're old and gray-headed. And we'll hear that one more time for our listeners' sake.
Now, also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shewed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come.
Psalms 71. Uh-huh. Let me make sure I got that right.
Yep, you
are right.
Yeah. 71 and
right.
80. Hold on. 80. Oh my gosh.
Uh-uh.
Just had
no.
It. Hold on.
You got
on.
It.
All
right,
I got it. Hold on. I know it. Hold
it.
On. Sorry. Jeez.
Focus.
You got it. You switched the numbers
18.
Around. You had it.
71 and 18.
Amen.
Psalm 71 and 18. That is correct.
Amen.
Good job.
Now, this next one, Pastor Bonnet, you're not going to have to find this one because you're going to know this by memory, but all the others, especially 6, we want to see if you get this one by next week, and here it is.
Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers.
So we find out how to get our souls to prosper and be in good health. And we'll hear that one more time.
Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper.
As we also could see, that it is the highest desire of God that we prosper and be in good health. And we'll hear that one more time for our listeners' sake.
Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers.
Amen.
Like I said, Pastor Bonnet, since you most likely know that by memory, this one will be for 6 to see if he can sniff out by next week.
Yeah.
Just make sure he doesn't get pepper up his nose while doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. You'll get it. It's in the Bible.
Yeah. And what
you know, it's between all the New Testament and the maps. You got to figure it out. Yep.
It's between the front and back cover, Six, so that's a big help.
Yeah. If you could take your long fingernail and put it at the back of the book and open it up from there, and that way you'll be right there at it.
Amen.
Amen.
Unless you don't have no fingernails, then.
I don't have any fingernails. I don't have anything.
You know, I don't know was it time for your manicure or not. So you know.
Yes, it
no,
is.
No, he don't have no fingernails because he chews them off every day.
No, he doesn't. I got it. I'm going to have to be calling.
So I said it right. That long fingernail.
No.
Yeah, he don't want nobody to know that his fingernails are long, but, yeah, he'll scratch you.
they
just keep growing like that. Mom, dad. Mama,
yeah,
that's just how they grow.
He's got nice, strong fingernails.
That means you got good calcium.
Your
body.
Respiratory system.
You know, you.
Huh?
You probably still need a haircut every week.
Yes.
So he's got fingernails long enough to get a steer then. Okay.
Yeah, and believe me, he'll try to get out of it every time. No, they don't need to be cut. Well, you scratching me, so I'm cutting.
Well, we pray he cooperate with you, Sister Nikhil. You take good care of him.
Oh my!
Yeah, thank God for good friends that look out for your better interest. You know, we all need good friends that will tell us, "Okay, enough is enough." Kick that.
Pastor Bonnie, yeah, just keep praying for me.
Nah, we all need somebody that can tell us no.
Mama left me with him. Oh, boy.
Well, you know, that will keep us
down. Yeah, Mama gave you the job to keep him in line, huh, Princess?
Yes, ma'am.
Nah, he'll be all right.
He'll be all right.
But he'll be all right. He's going to be good. If I can.
He know when to pike down.
Football season getting started. I'm gonna see if he can stay on top of what Cleveland doing. So, you know, I know he's not a big fan of sports. Maybe we can get him to start lending a little ear to see what his team is doing, so we can talk more to him because you know, I'm tired of talking about Apple products. You know, I know Apple just had a big release the other day. I may go and watch it just to see if I know what's going on. But, you know, Android for life.
Hey.
Hello.
Amen. Amen.
These people on here don't know what they're missing.
Yeah. Windows part time. Apple's never, you know. I tell you, ever since Eve gave Adam that, man, we've been in trouble ever since. So you know, I don't know what Mr. Jobs is doing, but you know, God bless his resting soul. Anywho.
Hey, what's wrong with the Android?
Ain't nothing wrong with Android.
Oh, nothing. Nothing wrong with Android.
Oh.
Yeah, Samsung is definitely Android. Listen, if it wasn't for the fact that I didn't think I wanted just this, if I wasn't trying to pay my bills, I would have the 4-4 right now. I would have that right now. That's what I've been on right now. But I'm satisfied with my last of the Note series, which is my Note 20 Ultra. So I'm satisfied with it because the 22 Ultra, it's the exact same size as my phone. And with the exception of the camera itself, it looks the same. So I'm satisfied.
I think iPhone 14 is the same as the 13, 12, and 11. So you're right on point, Pastor. If I would say so myself, amen.
They keep tempting us for our money, so you know.
Mm-hmm. Tell the truth, shame the devil.
I probably shouldn't use that word. But they keep getting us.
And we keep buying.
Yeah.
That's true.
My Note 4 Edge. Out of all my Note series, I liked my Note 4 Edge the best. It had the best camera because back then when I took pictures with it, and people still see those pictures, thought I took it with a professional camera. I don't care what kind of development they do with these phones. Back then, it was a pure, clean picture, no false colors, all of that, just good technology, all of that. So, but you know the industry, they got it now. I think they be sabotaging our battery system with the upgrades, making us buy new stuff.
Tell it, tell it, Pastor. Tell it. That's the truth.
Yes.
Tell it. Amen.
But that's what I think now.
Everybody.
You know, I'm
forced to take the upgrade. We forced to take the upgrade. We can't even say, "Hey, I don't want y'all to give me the upgrade right now." They will interrupt you in the midst of your task to make certain you take the upgrade on your phone, and you can't undo it either.
One day, mine just started updating. I'm like, I didn't tell you to update, so you have to go into your system and turn the auto update out off.
Yep.
Because these things will update on their own. It said, well, we got to keep it. No, I don't need y'all to keep nothing. I didn't have to update my PC, my laptop. I ain't had to update none of that until y'all started bothering it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think do the update, they have it written in the program to turn the auto update on. Because I've done the same thing. I've turned mine off, and then the next time it comes up and updates. So I started going in there and checking after it does an update.
Man, this stuff.
I got to start doing that.
Mine be missing out. We be up here talking. Matter of fact, since we've been on a program, all of a sudden it's just the little thing come on and let you know it's missing out. And so some people be laughing at me. I say to my phone, go on with your nose itself. Mind your business. And they be like,
yeah.
Because I see the little thing come on that is listening. I'm like, go on with your nose itself. Nobody talking to you.
Right.
Yeah, that
wants
makes
a cronkite all up in your phone.
Too.
So, I mean, but now, I was going to turn it off, but I done set my phone down a couple times, and so now I was able to find it. I said, hey, Bixby, where you at? What time is it? And it'll come on and tell me what time it is. I find the phone. So, I left it on. I said, maybe I ain't no conspiracy person, eh?
I ain't doing nothing I ain't supposed to do, so yeah. Let it listen. I don't care. Maybe it might get saved one day. Somebody on the other end might get saved. I don't know.
Amen.
Let it listen. That's what I say. But, it done pulled me out of the damn, though, because they do be listening. Matter of fact, if I say, hey, big shit, it pops right on up. What time it is? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with it locked, with the phone locked and everything, it come right on.
Wow.
I said these folks tell you anything. I like the fact that's what I liked about my Note 4 was you had where you could change the battery. So I can go from, I had an extra battery, so I can go from 100%, I mean from 0% to 100% by just changing the battery out.
Right.
Yeah, so I used to enjoy that. Now you can't get to the battery.
Right.
Now, I think that was the last year before, after that they went to being waterproof, so that's how they sold you on it, having that eternal battery. Mm-hmm. I said, uh-huh. Yeah, so now when these phones die, the iPhone and the Samsung, when they die, there's enough battery on there. Even though it's dead, there's enough battery on there for your location, find my phone location, for it to identify where your phone is, even though it's dead.
Wow.
So there's just enough energy still in there. So if your phone had died, and that happened one time, I had to find my phone. I did it. It was in the middle of a golf course. Couldn't find out where it was. Went on there, and that GPS took me right to where it was, in the middle of the golf course.
Wow.
So it
I mean,
has
that part,
benefit.
I see that. That's helpful. Right.
It has its benefit. And I show about sick of my stomach because I think at that time, that phone was like $600, $700, something like that. I ain't losing them after that.
Right.
Not like that.
I don't want to drop it in no water either. No, I'm not testing to see if the waterproof is going to work.
Oh, yeah, I have to test mine. I go in the shower, turn the heat on. We're going to see if you – I want to make sure, especially now since I got that the different warranties, I want to make sure you work right because if you don't –
I gotta work up to trying it.
So, those are the benefits. Well, fam, I love you all. Looking forward to seeing you all tomorrow night on Motivational Monday. Looking to have a good time. I pray that y'all enjoy the rest of your day. I got to go and let my wife put some lotion on me because this thing is itching me. I need to get my other 1.5 mental back.
Yes.
Well, Pastor Bonnet, before you go real quick, I just wanted to say there was two things that stuck out to me. The first thing was when you was talking about people going, you know, in for prayer and they haven't basically been there in church or been praying and doing what they're supposed to. My godfather, it made me think about what my godfather used to tell me all the time was that you need to build credit with God.
Ooh.
Huh?
I like that.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you go to God when something happens, but you haven't spent the time with God, you know, and done what he asked you to do. But then as soon as something happens, you want to run to him. Well, why should he honor your request when you haven't even taken the time to spend with him or do the things he asked you to do? So what he was saying was you got to build credit with God, and it made a lot of sense. And then the other thing was when you were saying that society and social media shouldn't teach us about what a Christian looks like, and what I was going to say was that would be a great topic if you could maybe on a Monday walk through how Christianity has changed and how people worship, you know, even up to the latest where, you know, since the pandemic, well, people have been on TV. We've had TV ministries. But since then, now we're doing the social media.
That's right. That's where we're going with it. With the, within this month, we're going to be dealing with the church today because it's so important for us to understand that, you know, every culture has its own outline. In our century, our outline of the social church is, you know, we have a pastor, we have musicians, and different things that particular. And depending on your affirmation, you may have certain setup that governs this, that, or the other. And my men's fellowship, we ask the question, what do the 2022 Christian man look like? And so we ask the question and dealt with, what do we look like? Is there a identity for the body of Christ today? And if it is, what does it look like? And is it biblical? And so it's very important for us to understand that the scripture do say we are of the world, we're in the world, but we're not of the world, be separate. So the body of Christ still has an obligation not to look like everybody in the world. But unfortunately, the body of Christ is building an image that looks just like the world. And that's why the body of Christ as a whole suffer more illnesses and things of that nature today, because we have moved away from the things of faith that set us apart from other people. And so we're going to get into that, and I have to start right there because that's a subject to really talk about. That's one to really dive into, and we must talk about it. And as we talk about it, I'm going to have all the mics open because I want your inputs on that. I want your feedbacks on that because it's important, you know, what you think that Christianity is and what I think Christianity is. The question will be, is it lined up with what God says it is? What does his word say? Mm-hmm. And we have to address that. I think it's a part of our accountability. And so we'll get there.
Amen.
We'll get there. So hopefully when we do that, that particular topic that we're able to share with other people so that we'll have more people involved in the conversation. And it's one of those things where it's not going, the conversation's going to have to extend more than one show. We have to allow it to develop the way the Holy Spirit will allow it to develop. So I'm ready for it. Just waiting on God to give it to me in his way.
Amen.
Anyway, God bless you all. Remember, as a born-again child of God, you are essential to life itself. The reason you are still alive today is because God deemed you essential. You're not somebody that's unimportant. You mean something not only to God, but to the whole body of Christ. So accept that fact and be who God wants you to be.
a change maker. God bless you.
Now, I say unto one, I say unto all, watch as well as pray. In Jesus' name, let us all please be good neighbors. We are dismissed.
Amen. Amen.
I love you all. Hope to be with you tomorrow, Motivational Monday.
Amen.
Hope
God bless you.
Have a nice day, guys. Love you all.
All right. God bless and in love and prayers to all. Hugs.
Hello.
And love you.
Hello.
Have a blessed week.